Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
How are you, Regina?
I am great. You know, this is my time of year, spring and summer.
Yeah, hope you're liking it too.
We're up and every day.
We're up and down a little bit in temperature wise, but it's in the right direction.
That's okay. I'll take it. You're absolutely right. Going in the right direction. Roxanne, I am excited because we have somebody who I consider a friend. Right?
Yes.
That has been started last year, was one of the first guests to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back to share with us. And not necessarily about an elected position that he currently has, but a role that he's been serving in for quite some time. And so I am really excited to welcome to the show Mayor Scott Nassif from the town of Apple Valley. Welcome back.
Hello, Mayor.
Well, good morning, and thank you for inviting me. Of course, I always say yes whenever I'm invited, so, you know, it's great, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking a time in your busy schedule to join us.
Yes, but like I mentioned, you're here in a little different capacity today to talk to us about your role and the representation of the High Desert on the California League of Cities. And for many of our listeners, I think it might be the first time that they're even aware of such a agency or organization. So I'm going to ask you if you will tell us what the League of Cities is and why it's important for us to have representation at that table.
You bet. And that's an important issue that I was introduced 22 years ago when I was first elected to the Apple Valley Council. I was appointed as the representative for the League of California Cities. So I dove right in on trying to figure out what exactly they do for our communities, what they do for our cities. And by the way, they now kind of have a nickname. They call them the Cal Cities.
Cities.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and they're trying to shorten it up a little bit and be a little bit more, connected to the communities. But technically, it's the League of California Cities. And it's important. They pretty much represent all 483 cities in the state of California. They represent us both on the federal level and the state level in particular, and all the issues facing our local cities.
Mm.
As you might imagine, all the cities in California are very diverse in their goals, objectives, and roles, and what they're trying to do for their local residents and communities. And the League helps communicate that to both the federal and at the state level, and in particular at the state level.
Mm.
For us here locally, and it's divided up into what they call 16 different divisions throughout the state of California.
Mm.
So Apple Valley is one of 16 cities in the Desert Mountain Division. So we have cities ranging all the way from Mammoth to Big Bear to Lancaster to Palmdale, Apple Valley, Cal Cities, Victorville, Hesperia, Ridgecrest, Needles.
Barstow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm sure I missed a couple, but
right.
Big Bear Lake. So that within our own division, it's very diverse in our economic development, in our goals, our objectives, and why our residents live there. And so it's important for us as a division in cities to communicate to the League and then represent us in legislation that happens at the state level. So we keep an eye on all the bills that come out at the League. And then how that affects us as a city, which ultimately affects our residents and our voters.
So, Mayor, let me ask you something. So, sitting at that table allows us to have a voice and an impact on a lot of the legislature that's being placed upon us, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we're at the at every level of legislation in the state of California. Personally, I've gotten involved because I've noticed that, you know, what happens up there can have tremendous impact locally.
Absolutely.
So I've been division president a couple of times working on that level. I've worked on the board of directors on the League of California Cities. They have 54 directors, and it's through Each division has a board member. They have at large. They have the diversity caucuses that have a member on each.
Yes,
so it all, and then they have at large. I think there's 12 directors. So I've been an at large and represented as a division on the board over the years. And it's become very important to me to make sure we communicate what Apple Valley and our division is looking for. Because you can imagine us inland, right? We're a little bit of ways away from Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco, who have the biggest voices in what happens in California. We think it's important that our inland divisions, Inland Empire, Riverside Division, and our Desert Mountain Division have a voice at the state level and at federal, but in particular at the state level, because the issues that face us are much different than the issues that face the coastal communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that, and thank you for that, because I think that helps to put some clarity to the importance of making sure that we have representation mm-hmm. at that table. And then I believe that you're currently serving as the vice chair of the Public Safety Committee. Do I have that right?
Correct. We have, there's some policy committees. There are several policy committees. I think there's 8 total policy. In fact, we're meeting Thursday. We meet 4 or 5 times a year, depending on the need.
I was going to ask, do you meet in Sacramento?
No, we meet, 4 times a year. And the way they divide it up is they meet twice in Northern California and twice in Southern California.
Okay.
So, and of course, through COVID, we met virtually, but, you know, you don't get the same impact. So we're back to meeting in person.
Does the governor have to appear in these meetings or no?
No, not in the policy meetings, but we do engage the governor in a lot of our league, California League conferences.
Okay.
He's come and spoke there. He has gotten engaged. We have lobbyists that communicate to our governor all the time. And issues that, bills that go through, that there is one, I won't get into details, there's an AB 98 has to do with logistics and warehousing that affect us very impactfully in Southern California.
Yes.
We came out strongly against it, and the league came out strongly against it. The governor ultimately signed it, and it had to do with adding more regulations to warehousing and logistics, which we're obviously, that's our big industry here in Southern California and the inland. That didn't go very well, and we definitely engaged with the governor, ultimately got signed, and we've got some legislation that quote unquote fixes that bill currently working. So there's some things that we get.
That amends it.
There's some things that happened that we weren't real, that didn't help us economically. So not only the public safety side, but economic development side, administration side. There's a lot happening there. So,
Tell me about the work that you're doing on the Public Safety Committee, and tell me also why that's important.
Well, public safety, so you talk about public safety to any person, and everybody might have a different vision of public safety. Some of it is police and safety. Some of it is fire. Some of it is, everything in between. It's a huge umbrella, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Mm.
So I got involved last year, and through Proposition 36, as you remember, was helping change some of the accountability in our public safety issues. Our policy committee got very involved. I was very vocal in that arena, communicating with our police department and how hard it was to keep the criminals or people that committed crimes accountable, the retail theft, right?
Yes.
Well, that was a big issue in California. It was a big issue for our cities, which became a big issue for the League of California Cities. So we helped push and help promote Prop 36, help try to educate our legislation, because there were some legislators, including our governor, that did not want to see Prop 36 get through. I think I got nominated to be vice chair and chair for next year because of my animated vocal support of that and really echoing the voices of our – and being an advocate, being an advocate for that level of public safety, because nobody wants to see the same person do the same thing over and over. And it was and it was a good proposition that made it stair-stepped, mm-hmm. So, okay, the first time, let's correct it, let's do something. Second time, let's call it a felony. Third time, you're going to get more issues happen to you. And that's the way Prop 36. They gave our district attorneys more teeth into that. It helped some of the issues are drug court, remanding them to drug court and making it consequences if they don't go to drug court. You get a choice of jail.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that were important and that we tried to communicate to our legislature. And ultimately, that passed by 70% in the state of California.
Good work.
So that came through. And so now we are working on funding for that at the league level. So that is one issue that our public safety committee worked on.
Okay.
Public safety police retention is another issue that we're working on. We have some bills that we're going to be talking about on Thursday to help retain our police officers and attract police officers to that industry and quality jobs and making sure we hold them accountable for what they're doing for our community. That's important in how we work with that. Our safety committee works on those issues and supporting those that when they do the job correctly. We have a great San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department has done a fantastic job and sets example for a lot of the folks and how that works. We work on the homeless issue.
Okay.
And our new challenge this year, of course, is the fire issues that we had. You saw what happened in Altadena and
Palisades,
Pacific Palisades, and the fire insurance issue. We have two fire insurance bills that are and a public speaker on that at our meeting on Thursday and in Big Bear at our next division meeting about the fire insurances and how we can manage that and how we can work with our legislation to make that affordable and not only in our communities but throughout California and how to work on it.
And so I want to thank you for that. I want to also extend an invitation to have you come back as things start to progress. And, you want to share with us things that we as community should be aware of and knowledgeable of that are going to impact and affect us, whether it be the insurance or all those different things that fall under the umbrella of public safety or economic housing development, all of that good stuff. Just feel free. You have an open invitation to come back and share with us because this is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is how we make decisions and get decisions made that are in our best interest so that our voices, at least it doesn't always work, but that our voices are always heard and we're always having a seat at the table. And so you are filling that role for us and we are most grateful for it. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And I will, if there's anything dramatic that happens, I will certainly let you know, but there's, things are going fast and furious up there. So as people know. So we keep on it and let them know that the elected officials, we're trying to do our best job.
We definitely appreciate all of your years of service and your continued commitment to serve community and be accessible to community. So thank you so much, Mayor Nassif, for spending this time with us this morning.
Anytime. Feel free to call me.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Regina. How are you doing? How are our listeners doing?
I'm doing great, and I hope that our listeners are doing so as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's another beautiful high desert weekend.
Yeah, spring.
Right?
We're going to go through April, and if you can believe it, I've been talking to a few friends. Everybody's excited that they're already making their summer plans. School year is finishing
it's
up.
It's moving
so
fast.
Not too bad.
It is moving so fast, and you know what? I think it's really, I'm excited, and I think it's really appropriate that we have this special guest here today because she's going to be kind of talking about some things that the kiddos can do.
Great.
And, with I think spring break may be behind us for some, but we're definitely looking to summer.
Yes.
And what she's involved with and has to offer sounds like something really cool for our kids. It's funny, Roxanne, because before we went on air, I was saying
you specifically told me that you were not familiar with
our
guest. I was
not familiar with this guest. And then she walks in and surprise.
You totally recognized her.
Totally recognize her, have admired her and the work that she and her partner have done for years here in the high desert. And I tell you, kind of on the back of we just celebrated, Women's History Month.
Yes, we did.
I really admire this lady because she's been involved in mining. Right. And worked with, when I got a chance to meet her, they were working with our museum here, the Victor Valley Museum.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And involved in mining and a number of things and just really promoting what women are capable of doing, kind of in an industry that we don't necessarily always think women first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so just excited to welcome Lois Papner.
Thank you.
To Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Today we're not going to be talking about women in mining, but I'd love to have you back to have that conversation because I think, you know, it's an opportunity for our young girls and our young women to explore and learn more about what opportunities in that particular industry are and look like. So we're definitely going to have you back for that. But today you are here to talk to us about your role and the organization, which is Artists of the High Desert.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're here to talk to us about, you've recently assumed the role of president.
Yes, as of January 2025.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. What a great way to start the new year.
Yeah.
And so can you tell us, Lois, a little bit about how long the Artists of the High Desert organization has existed and what's the purpose or the mission of the organization?
Yes, it has existed since 1965, which actually got started with five women that took an oil painting class at Victor Valley College.
Wow.
Of which I also was there, not in 65, but for 19 years I worked at Victor Valley College as well.
Wow.
So connected through that,
yes.
They started meeting at their house weekly to paint after they took their class, and then they formed Hesperia Art Club, I think in 1973, 83
okay.
or so, it was incorporated.
Okay.
Another member came in and said we should incorporate. So they became incorporated in 1983.
Okay.
And so it's been, they've celebrated their 50th about 10 years ago now. And so we're coming up on our 60th anniversary here.
That's amazing.
So,
and so
yeah.
Obviously it's gone through kind of a name transition.
It did. It,
right?
We are still considered Hesperia Art Club, Inc., but doing business as Artists of the High Desert. And when that actually changed was when they were in, they moved to a lot of different places over
okay.
the time. But they did move to the museum that you were just talking about.
Exactly.
The art club was there
yes.
for a while. And when they moved there and moved out of the Hesperia city limits, they decided then to change it to Artists of the High Desert to incorporate the entire High Desert.
Right. And I think they were there just a little tidbit of history.
Yeah.
I think they were at the museum before the county took over the museum.
I think that was probably true.
Yes,
yes,
when
it was
the museum
way back.
Was privately owned,
mm-hmm.
they were there
yeah.
because I remember going in the room that they inhabited and always
yeah.
kind of looking around.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, Carol Carr was the executive director for the museum.
Okay.
And then the transition, of course, happened with the county, and they took over the museum, and I believe
yeah.
that's when they then transitioned to another location.
From there, they actually made it back to Hesperia again on Main Street,
okay.
yeah, where the Stater Brothers is now.
Wow.
On Main Street, yeah.
So
and
long,
they were there.
Long term.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your role and how long. Well, I think
yeah.
you told us since the beginning of the year you've
yeah.
had the position. But what's
right.
your role?
I'm the president of the club right now. Last year I was treasurer of the club.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to get our feet above ground last year. We were paying too much for our rent. We weren't bringing in enough membership. We weren't getting donations. Lots of things that just kept us in the red every month. So at the end of the year, we weren't even sure who was going to be running for the board for this next, for the 2025
mm-hmm.
year. But it all came together in that meeting in December. I was nominated as president. I took on that role as long as I had support from all the other positions.
Yes.
And we now have a 16-person board that is forming committees and working on all kinds of new ideas and new things.
And pushing it forward.
And pushing it forward, definitely.
So yeah. just so our listeners know, the Artists of the High Desert is a 501c3.
Yes,
it's
it
a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I know it's very challenging for people to understand that mm-hmm. Nonprofits are businesses,
yes.
right? And so
yes.
they've got to function as such.
Yes.
If they don't, then they stand the chance of not being here. And we need you here in the community because of a lot of the work that you guys are doing. So talk to me a little bit about that work that you're doing in the community.
We recently had to move our location, so we are now on 9th and Main in Hesperia. We've made it back to Hesperia again,
where
our roots started there.
That's where it should be then.
That's where it is. I hope we're there for a very, very long time right now. The goal or the vision of the club a long time ago was to have an art gallery in Hesperia. And they actually had purchased a piece of land on Main Street and Cottonwood.
Oh.
Very prime area. However, and they kept doing swap meets and art shows and different things, raising money to be able to have a permanent art gallery here in Hesperia. Exactly.
Yeah.
They never got that vision. They never got the money really together for that. And so they eventually sold that property.
Okay.
And that's where we have some of our savings, and the CD is from the proceeds of that property.
Okay, so that's kind of the endowment that helps to create the sustainability.
Yeah.
Got it.
And
okay.
So our club just, we're about 80 members right now, which is more than we had last year. I think last year we only had about 60. So that's really... increased, and I just got three more today, actually.
Oh, wow. So, now, all of these members, are they artists themselves?
Or do they like art in general?
They like art.
Okay.
It's like me. I like taking all these classes. I mean, we've got classes in acrylic, oil, pastels, charcoal. We just had our demonstration. We have demonstrations four times a year or more. And we just had someone do a wonderful demonstration on charcoal, and the there's a class coming up starting this coming Saturday, which I'm taking.
Okay.
I've never had charcoal in my hands before. But with an instructor teaching and taking you step by step, I come out of there and I go, oh, my gosh, I did this.
You're surprised at what you created.
Yeah, I did a bird. I did whatever it is.
Yes.
It was like I didn't think I could ever do that. So, yes, our members, some of our members are really, really good artists.
Yes.
And they just want that connection with others, you know, and have that socialization with other artists.
So you don't necessarily have to be an artist to be a member.
No, you do not. No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
And then what happens is with membership, what are the privileges of membership?
They would get the demonstrations, you know.
Okay.
They'd get information on that. They get a newsletter monthly. The classes are discounted for them. The membership is $40 a year.
Okay.
And then there's a family membership that if you have others in your same residence, it's only $10 additional.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
For
the family, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those, you know, that membership, we're probably going to do some kind of other types of membership. We've talked about a higher tier and tiered membership kind of thing for people. We have the workshops. We have the classes. You can exhibit your art in our gallery. You can hang your art and you can sell it. You can put a price on it and sell it if you are able to or not. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We have a featured artist every month. So they come in, they hang their art. Right now it's Theresa Shellcroft.
Yeah, I love her.
Yep, she's well known here, also in the community.
One of our treasures.
Yeah, so she's got her art there. We're doing this year, we're going to do some field trips. We're going to get some people together. We're going right now to Huntington Library. And we thought maybe 12. We didn't know how many would go. Well, we're almost up to 20. So we're trying to ask, because you can ask for some free tickets on the first Thursday of each month there. So we're trying to get a few more tickets for that. So we're going to the Huntington. We'll go visit other galleries. We're going to Barstow for Elmer's Bottle Tree and the murals that are there.
Yeah.
So just that's kind of everything involved in the membership.
And culture, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
We're trying to get a little more culture in, in the high desert.
Now, let me ask something, because we talked about memberships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I'm thinking summertime is coming up, and so it's a great time to try and figure out what we're going to do with the kiddos while they're out of school.
And it's educational, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is it's also creative expression, right?
Mm-hmm.
It exposes you to find that creativity within yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And so how can, if someone's interested in becoming a member or learning more, how can they do that?
They can contact and go on our website. We have our application on the website. They can fill it out. We also have Zelle. They can just Zelle the money right through there.
Look at you guys, Zelle.
Yeah, we just got that this year.
Yay!
That was a big thing. And then we also, they can stop in at the gallery. Mm-hmm. We're open on Mondays and Fridays from 1 to 4
right now.
So I'm hoping to open it up on Saturday and Sunday if we can get volunteers to come in and have the gallery open for the public to come in and see the art.
Well, that's another thing, Lois, is that being a 501c3, we know that a lot of this work is done because of volunteers, right?
Yes.
And so I know that our community is filled with people who have a love of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So like me myself, I'm not necessarily a painter or any of that, but I have such a love and appreciation for the arts. Lois, I'm excited about what you guys are doing. I'm excited about the focus intentionally on young people and art. I'm excited about the artists because several of them that are part of your membership, I do know, and they have extremely beautiful work.
They do.
And so I'm just excited about the growth that's happening, mm-hmm. and especially under your leadership, because I've known you for a while, and I've seen how things have a tendency to blossom under your leadership. So I couldn't be happier for the organization. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us that maybe I was busy talking through?
No, I think we covered most of it. I did say the Monday and Fridays are kind of open paint, where you just bring in your art that you're working on from home, and on Mondays you can get some help from other experienced artists, and on Friday it's more of a social. People really just come together, and it's nice to paint with someone else.
Now, what are the hours on that? So on Monday, if you kind of want a little help and coaching or mentoring, what time?
1 to 4 on Mondays. That's a little more. Yeah, you bring in your materials and your supplies, and sit down. And if you're having trouble with a tree or whatever you're doing, then there's two other artists there that can help with that.
Right.
And then on Fridays, it's also 1 to 4, but that one is more, it's not really help or instruction on anything.
It's just being in community.
It's fun in community, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had as many 12 people or so show up on Fridays.
I love that.
Sit down and just start painting. Someone's doing oil, someone's doing acrylic. I mean, it doesn't even need to be painting. I'm working on something that's with buttons right now. I'm making a horse with buttons.
So it's just a gathering.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Our just a gathering.
Club's open. It's nice. All the pictures and things are on the wall. We also have ceramics. We're going to be doing silversmithing. We've done that in the past, making some jewelry. This time they're going to do, our teachers that are coming in, are going to do a little birdhouse made out of old silverware. So, and then we've got a new charcoal class, new charcoal teacher. Oh, I got to say one thing. We had a 17-year-old graduated from high school early. She came in and she wanted to teach. She sent an email first to us, and I said, yes, we're always looking for teachers. She came in, met me, brought her portfolio. It was beautiful. Uh-huh. She took classes from us when she was 8 years old, whatever year that was.
Oh my God,
she was 8 years old. Yes. And she wants to come in and teach the teens, because she went through high school and saw a lot of the art that the teens were doing, but not able to really express it,
goodness.
And so she's going to be one of our teachers.
What
and
a
we'll
beautiful
be teaching
way to so. End this interview, because that's come full circle.
It did.
That's the power of the work that you guys are doing in our community, and we are grateful for that. So, Lois,
thank you. I can give you the phone number. It's 442-353-4258. We are located at 9648 9th Avenue, Suite 8, so they can stop by on Monday or Fridays.
Yes.
Those are definite times I can say we're open. And they can reach us through our email at artistofthehighdesert@yahoo.com.
Well, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.